Today's reading is in John chapter 18, John 18, beginning in verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, standing with them, when Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. As far as the book of John goes, we've spent the last three chapters looking at all the different things that Jesus told his disciples to prepare them for this moment. Now we've come to the point of the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus. And John presents this a little differently than other accounts, giving some details that others don't, and vice versa. For example, you don't have recorded in the book of John that Jesus healed Malchus's ear. But that's simply a matter of perspective and what they wanted to accomplish with their particular account. John also does not record the prayer that Jesus prays three times for the cup to pass, but goes straight to Judas leading this party of, well, soldiers and officers to go and arrest Jesus. I don't know how you read this, but when I read it, when it talks about them coming with torches and lanterns and weapons, and I don't know, it strikes me as odd that they would come out in such a way like they were expecting a big fight. Jesus has never done anything that would give any indication that he was going to be violent. They've never done anything to give any indication that they would fight back. But here they are, coming out to arrest Jesus as if they're coming out to arrest a band of rebels or something. So they've gone out to this garden, and it was a place where they commonly went to. It was a place that Judas knew about. Jesus is not trying to hide because he knows that Judas is going to betray him. He's in this common place where he can be found. I've always found this encounter with these that came to arrest Jesus as interesting, because he asks, "Whom do you seek?" They said, "Jesus." Jesus says, "I am he." And they fall to the ground. I think there's power in those words, because that is how God presented himself. And I think that's why they fell to the ground. And I also wondered on many occasions, if I was one of those soldiers who I'm just rationalizing, I'm just doing my job, I'm doing what I'm told to do, I'm going out here to accomplish this, and we go to present ourselves and arrest this person, and this happens. He states, "I am he," and I fall down. I don't know how I would feel at that point. I think I would feel pretty uneasy about arresting him. Of course, we have no indication of how the soldiers felt about this or what they were thinking. But Peter decides he's going to defend him. He's going to pull out his sword and he's going to strike at him. And he ends up cutting off Malchus's ear. But Jesus rebukes him for this and says, "Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Well, from other accounts, we know that this has been expected, and Jesus was praying about it, and Jesus was praying for the cup to pass, but now it's not going to pass. So this statement makes a lot of sense. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? So his obedience is just part of his service. It's part of his doing the will of the Father. He can't accomplish the will of the Father. He can't fulfill that eternal plan for the salvation of man if he does not allow this to happen. Now, I also try not to be too hard on Peter, because if you and I were accosted by, you know, an armed group of people, our inclination might be to try to defend ourselves as well. Now, Peter was already told this was going to happen, but still, in the heat of the moment, fear or that fight or flight response, whatever you might put in there, Peter responds by cutting off Malchus's ear, and of course Jesus stops him. And so they arrest him, and they take him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest, the one who made the statement that one man should die for the people. I think that statement is linked more to his concern about the Roman government than anything else. But it's obvious from that statement also that he doesn't believe who Jesus is. If he believed who Jesus was, then he wouldn't be thinking in terms of appeasing the Roman government in some way and killing him. However, when they come out to him, they are treating him like an insurrectionist. And they do accuse him of that basic thing with the Roman government, to say that he was calling himself a king. So they do put him in that position of where they paint him in this picture of being a rebellious person that was stirring up rebellion and that was gathering people, gathering disciples or followers in the minds of whoever might believe that accusation. That would mean that he was gathering an army. But that's not what Jesus is doing at all. They don't fight to defend him. They don't try to keep him from being arrested. They don't do any of these things. And so we will continue on next week in looking at Peter's denial and the questioning of Jesus. But continue to think about these things as you go about your day today and perhaps over the weekend, and think about your allegiance to the will of God, your obedience to the will of God. Are you willing to endure? Are you willing to do whatever it takes in order to do the will of God? Because that's what Jesus gives us as an example. Thank you for listening today, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.